Chapter 8. The Mad God. A small number of white men lived in Fort Yukon. These men were proud of the fact that they had been in the country a long time, and they felt nothing but scorn for the newcomers, the men who came off the steamers. One man was called Beauty by the other men of the fort. No one knew his first name, and in general, he was known in the country as Beauty Smith. He had been given the name because he was anything but a beauty. He was a small, ugly man with a small head, but he had an enormous face and jaw. This jaw made him appear very determined and fierce, but in fact he was known far and wide as the greatest of cowards. His teeth were large and yellow, his eyes were brown and muddy, and so was the dirty hair that covered his head and face. In short, he was a monstrosity. This man saw White Fang and wanted to own him. He made advances to White Fang from the very first, but White Fang ignored him. He sensed the evil in him and feared his outstretched hand and soft words. White Fang was in Grey Beaver's camp when Beauty Smith first visited it. He saw Beauty and Grey Beaver talking together, though he did not know what they said. Once the man pointed at him, and when White Fang snarled, the man only laughed. Grey Beaver refused to sell White Fang. He had grown rich with his trading and did not need anything. Besides, White Fang was a valuable animal, the strongest sled dog he had ever owned, and the best leader. Furthermore, there was no dog like him for miles around. He could fight and kill other dogs. No, White Fang was not for sale at any price. But Beauty Smith knew the ways of Indians. He visited Grey Beaver's camp often, and hidden under his coat was always a bottle of whiskey. Drinking whiskey makes a man thirsty. Grey Beaver got the thirst. He wanted more and more of the whiskey, and his brain got used to alcohol. It made him go to any lengths to get it. The money he had received for his furs and mittens and moccasins began to go. It went faster and faster, until in the end his money and goods were all gone. He had nothing left but his thirst. It was then that Beauty Smith had another talk with him about the sale of White Fang, but this time the price offered was in bottles, not dollars, and Grey Beaver was more prepared to listen.
"You catch the dog, you can take him," he said.
And the bottles were delivered. 2 days later, Grey Beaver agreed to catch White Fang himself. White Fang crept into the camp one evening and lay down with a sigh of contentment. The dreaded White God was not there. For days, Beauty had been trying to lay hands on him, and White Fang had been forced to avoid the camp. But as soon as he lay down, Grey Beaver tied a leather strap round his neck. He sat down beside White Fang, holding the end of the strap in his hand. In the other hand, he held a bottle, from which he drank from time to time. About an hour later, Beauty Smith came into the camp and stood over White Fang. White Fang snarled softly, but as a hand began to descend towards his head, his snarl grew louder, until suddenly he snapped, striking with his fangs like a snake. The hand was pulled back, and White Fang's teeth came together emptily with a sharp click. Beauty Smith was frightened and angry. Grey Beaver hit White Fang on the side of his head so that he lay down on the earth in respectful obedience. White Fang's suspicious eyes followed every movement. He saw Beauty Smith go away and return with a thick club. Then the end of the strap was given to him by Grey Beaver. Beauty started to walk away. The strap grew tight. White Fang resisted it. Grey Beaver hit him right and left to make him get up and follow. He obeyed, but threw himself on the stranger who was dragging him away. Beauty Smith did not jump away. He had been waiting for this. He swung the club smartly, smashing White Fang down upon the ground. Grey Beaver laughed and nodded approval. Beauty Smith tightened the strap again, and White Fang crawled weakly and dizzily to his feet. One smash from the club was enough for him. He followed at Beauty Smith's heels, his tail between his legs, yet snarling softly under his breath. Beauty Smith watched him carefully, always ready to strike with the club. At the fort, Beauty Smith left White Fang tied securely and went into bed. White Fang waited an hour. Then he set his teeth to work on the strap, and in 10 seconds he was free. He turned and trotted back to Grey Beaver's camp. But what had happened before was repeated. Grey Beaver again tied him up with a strap, and in the morning gave him to Beauty Smith. This time Beauty Smith gave him a beating. Tied securely, White Fang could only rage in vain and take the punishment. Club and whip were used on him, and he experienced the worst beating he had ever received in his life. Beauty Smith enjoyed the task. He enjoyed listening to White Fang's cries of pain. For Beauty Smith was cruel in the way that cowards are cruel. Being himself terrified of the blows or angry words of a man, he took his revenge on creatures weaker than himself. This time, White Fang was tied with a chain that he could not bite through. After a few days, Grey Beaver departed on his return journey, sober and bankrupt. White Fang remained on the Yukon, the property of a man who was more than half mad and very cruel. White Fang knew that he must submit to the will of his new master and obey his every wish.